JV.
Yes, sir.
Eclipse 2024, April, what's today's date? 8th. Man, did you catch it?
I did see we got, what, like 80-ish percent?
We got a lot, dude.
Yeah, I saw most of it. I mean, I think I saw like the maximum amount of coverage.
Nice.
But, you know, I'm no scientist, so, you know.
Wait, you're not?
I didn't have my calculator on me to calculate the percentage.
Make sure your calculus is coverage. Correct, Robin. Oh, man. Yeah, dude, yeah. So it was like 3 p.m. We all stepped outside of the office, and one lady bought a couple of those, I don't know, eclipse glasses or whatever, where you could see it without, like, burning your retinas.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah, it's always good. It's always good, yeah.
So, you know, looked at it for, like, 2 minutes. I mean, I think I did the same exact thing, like, in 2017 that happened. This is going to be the last one for, like, the next 20, 25 years. So, dope. That's cool.
That's, yeah, something you... You can talk about now, I guess.
Yeah, I was stories a part of the...
For
the ages.
To pass down...
To generation to generation?
Yeah.
The eclipse that took place April 8th, 2024. Where were you at? Or are we talking about it at the bar as old men?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
I didn't even see the whole thing covered, so that's even better.
Hey, man, my favorite Marvel movie turns 10 this year.
I heard. I was going to send it a card.
Captain America, the Winter Soldier, turns 10, man. This movie came out in 2014. Wow. Man, now talk about where were you in 2014. I was in the theater watching this. The day that it opened.
Nice.
When was the last time that you watched Captain America, The Winter Soldier?
It wasn't very long ago. Within months, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just catching up on, or re-watching, the Avengers saga there. And that one is definitely... one you cannot miss.
So
can't skip that one.
I just watched it this past Friday, and it's still as fantastic as it was when I watched it back in 2014.
Yeah. Like,
if you haven't seen it yet, I don't know what the hell what rock you're living under, but go get on Disney Plus and watch this damn movie. Okay. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah.
We all liked Captain America, the first Avenger, but he got his ass beat in the Avengers a lot, right? He was kind of like the punk, the second fiddle to Tony Stark, right? He wasn't the man. He came back with the Winter Soldier and like, yo, Captain America, Steve Rogers is that dude. And it shows from the start of the movie, man. That's what I love about it. The stealth suit, the way this plays into like a political thriller type movie, superhero, you know, the sky's the superhero movie, man. The live action stunts that took place.
Disguise master, everybody in disguises and stuff.
The disguises and everything that happened, you know, with the hat and glasses. Didn't know it was Steve Rogers, you know, in the mall, right? This is just like, this is like one of those movies, man, that is just like from start to finish is as perfect as it was 10 years ago. And I can just rewatch it and rewatch it and rewatch it. And it's just so much fun.
Really is.
Big budget movies, man. Big budget movies. I'm just, you know, I would like to see more MCU movies come back to this, right? They did a lot of live action stunts. They shot on location in Cleveland, Ohio. They just did a lot of really cool things within this movie that you just don't get from the blue screen or the green screen or the CGI dragons and stuff that you get now. Like,
yeah,
go back to this type of storytelling. I would really appreciate that.
Yeah, it really kept you on the street level for the most part until you get to the, you know, helicarriers and stuff blowing up. But up until that point, you know, we're fighting on the street and just kind of going a lot of hand-to-hand combat, which was fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, like even the script, the writing, Sam L. is good in this movie, but like you got to give it for Anthony Mackie, man, right? When he's about to fight Romulo at the end, and Romulo's like, all we know about is pain, and Hydra's going to teach you pain, and Anthony Mackie's character is like, yeah, shut the hell up and let's fight. You know what I mean? Like, what else are you going to say right there, right?
Yeah, he definitely brought it in. He sealed his contract very well on that one.
Yeah, man, just a great flick. One of my favorite. It's not the best Marvel movie for me. That is still so. I almost said Civil War. Infinity War. Iron Man 3. Iron Man 3 is up there for me, bro. It's top five, right, for me. Not best, but the best Marvel movie is Infinity War. Hands down,
yeah.
My favorite is still Captain America, the Winter Soldier, man. So, even better than Civil War. Civil War kind of gets bloated naturally. You know, it was like Avengers 2.5. So, yeah. But guys, if you have not seen Captain America, the Winter Soldier, turns 10. It's his birthday. Go watch it. It's still a test of time. And a lot of the themes and elements is stuff that we're still talking about today. In this geopolitical world. So definitely a good watch, guys. We'll throw it on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. Oh, yeah. Welcome to episode of Movie in a Pod. I'm Clyde Smith.
And I'm Javier Villalobos.
On this episode, we're discussing the challenge for Cuckoo, Bad Boys Ride or Die, Episode 4 of X-Men 97, in our movie of the week, Monkey Man. All right. Hope everybody has a good week going on here. We got some movie trailers coming here at you. Cuckoo. I don't know how you really... It's Cuckoo? Cuckoo, whatever. And then Bad Boys Ride or Die here. So we got some trailers here, guys. One looks like some weird, funny horror flick that's kind of knows it's a weird movie.
Yeah.
And we got Will Smith and Martin Lawrence teaming back up for a fourth outing as the bad boy cops from Miami, guys. So we have our socials. We're going to see all our live reactions on our YouTube page. You'll also be able to go ahead and hit us up on the TikTok, the Instagram, the Facebook. The Reels, I think all Reels is Instagram. I don't know. We got it all, team. So check us out.
There's that link. I don't know how it works anymore.
There's that link tree in the show notes, guys. Hit us up. Like, share, subscribe, and we appreciate you. All right, team. We have Cuckoo, according to IMDb, a 17-year-old girl is forced to move in with her family to a resort where things are not what they seem. Okay.
I disagree. They are exactly like they seem. That's my thing here.
And like she called it out from the get-go. Like So we have Hunter Schafer, Dan Stevens, Jessica Henwick, Martin Kostka, and some others in this movie as well, written and directed by Tillman Singer. JV, like, we always talk about when we watch, like, horror movie trailers, like, horror is difficult because a lot of it has been done, and then the trailers just don't hit. Like, Tarot, we talked about it like a couple weeks ago. The trailer just didn't pique my interest as far as like, I've already seen this movie multiple times. The kids mess with something that they shouldn't mess with, and there's consequences, and they all end up dying, except for the final girl. We've seen this movie before. We've seen that movie before.
Yeah. Yeah. The look of this one, though, is like that real 80s, 90s.
Which is a dope vibe, look.
Which is that's, like
yeah,
when we got the creepiest movies, right? And this one was super creepy. Like, really, I don't like it. I don't like one bit.
Like, you're right. I was about to say that. That's a callback to those 80s and 90s really good, creepy-ass movies that we, like, are afraid of, but we really enjoyed. This one also is, like, kind of meta, where, like, the lead knows that she shouldn't be there, right? That weird shit's happening. And it's almost like everybody around me doesn't see this shit. What is going on? What is happening that nobody else sees this happening right now?
Yeah.
This is like a fun time, man. This one, I can probably see myself going to the theater to watch. This might be a good, dope matinee flick to see.
You got to like go, said, though, so when you come out, it's like still middle of the day.
Oh, 1,000%.
You got a lot of light out.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going after dark. No. Gosh, no. And you know where I park my truck at, too. I have to walk a long way.
Yeah, you're a perfect spot for that girl to sneak up on you.
Exactly. Right? Just hang out in the bed of my truck. Yeah, the whole ride. And, you know, I always got the window open back there. So I'm glutton for punishment at some point in time in a horror movie.
That is a setup for sure.
Guys, we're going to throw Cuckoo on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. Also, what has been your recent favorite horror movie film, and why was it Lamageddon? Yeah. I know it was, guys.
I don't know. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey was getting up there.
All right, guys. So, From IMDb, we have Bad Boys Ride or Die. This summer, the world's favorite bad boys are back with their iconic mix of edge-of-your-seat action and outrageous comedy, but this time with a twist. Miami's finest are now on the run. JV.
Dang.
Talk to me, brother. What are your thoughts?
I was saying the captain was always like top character for me, like in these movies. He was just always so funny and just always giving it to both of them, right?
And
I think it's pretty funny and entertaining for it to be like now it's him that's kind of in the middle of everything. And then we also have, like, I mean, you're number four, right? You got to really pump it up now. So we're getting like some top tier action now. We got some helicopters exploding and looks like some pretty, well, I mean, they've always had pretty gigantic shootouts, but we're going to keep those going. Maybe amp them up a little bit.
I agree. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I like that the cast is coming.
But now
back,
we don't man. Have a.
Got
you get.
We got Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Vanessa Hudgens coming back. She was in the last one.
Nice.
Alexander Ludwig, the humongous dude from the Miami PD squad is back. Paolo Nunez, who's Captain Rita. We got some other ones. So Eric Dane, Ion Gruffudd, Jacob is coming back as Will Smith's like son. You know, we just Tiffany Haddish, Joe Pantaleone, who's the deceased captain who's texting him from the grave or whatever, Rhea Seahorn. It's just gonna be a really good time, man. We got Adi and Bilal coming back, who directed the last one. I don't need much from these movies, man. I just want to laugh my ass off. I just want to see a bunch of good, dope action. And then they put it a little bit of it in the trailer, but that tracking shot where, like, the swooping shot when you see Marcus and Mike from the ground up and it just swoops and they're just kind of, like, standing there all sweaty and shit.
Yeah.
Like, we saw a little bit in the trailer. That's like iconic, that Michael Bay kind of like a shot, that swooping shot that he kind of created. Now, a lot of people have tried to like recreate it, but he's still the best at it. Adi and Bilal, these directors, they know what they're doing because they've taken what Michael Bay has done. You got to have that in the shot as well. So I'm excited for this, man. You know, I'm pulling up day one. It's these two guys with a gun in their hand. We're just going to have a good time. That's what this is about, man. That's all I care about, is these guys out there doing that thing, making us laugh, shooting up and killing people, man. Like, trying to protect the captain's name.
I'm down.
Let's go.
I'm down.
Team, we're going to throw us on our socials. Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2, Bad Boys for Life, and now we got Bad Boys Ride or Die, team. Out of the first three, which one has been your favorite? For me, I still like the first one as my favorite. Only because and we'll wrap up this segment in a second, guys. They took a plot that's typically in a second or a third movie where they have to switch roles. And it was like, no, we're doing this in the first movie. This is the plot of this first movie. You guys have to switch roles like for this person. And I'm like, that was mind blowing. That was different. That was pretty awesome.
Pretty bold.
Yes, pretty bold. I agree, man. Guys, with all this on your socials, let us know which one's your favorite. All right, brother. You catch that newest episode of X-Men 97?
I did.
According to IMDb, on her birthday, a nostalgic Jubilee is forced to relive the X-Men's greatest adventures when an entertainment system transport her into a 16-bit video game. yeah. This was definitely...
It happened. Yeah.
An episode here, man. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the Jubilee part of it was kind of, it was okay. I don't really like when they got like this strong beginning and then they're going to pluck like just one X-Men out.
Yeah.
And then one guy we just met, right? We kind of push everybody to the side, you know. You always kind of want to see like at least like three people together doing some cool stuff, some cool fights. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of for me that first part, but then you have like the Storm end of it, which, you know, that storyline is just hitting every time it swings around.
Yeah.
Even if it's a couple seconds of Storm or not, that storyline seems to be going strong still.
It almost, and stop me if I'm wrong, I might have you pegged differently here, but like, is Storm one of your favorite X-Men? Is she up there?
I mean, she's part of the original crew, right? So you got like Storm, Cyclops, Wolverine.
Yeah.
When you think of the X-Men, I mean, those are, and Jean, you know, Professor X. That's the ones you always think of. Hey, say X-Men. It's going to be one of those.
Of course, there.
But I mean, she's super powerful, and she's always been. They've never really showed her be as badass as they kind of showed her in this series so far.
Yeah, man, and it sucks that like from the rip from that second episode, like her powers are gone, and it's about her getting her powers back as well. So we'll be back up a second. So I do want to talk about the whole Jubilee kind of birthday, going on.
We just kind of swept that under the rug, didn't we?
Mojo thing, yeah. So that was really weird, but it was almost like a Kevin Hart, Dwayne Johnson Jumanji thing, right, with the video game, whatever, getting stuck in there. Yeah. That's where I thought like the vibes were going, and how she got stuck and she had to play through all these levels and everything. And she saw her older self and all this. So there was a lot going on there. I was not peak entertained, only because I don't care about Jubilee. I'll be honest with you. I don't. I have never cared about Jubilee. I don't mean that to be mean or anything, but like she just was always a whiny teenage girl, and now she's 18 and she's still a whiny teenage girl when like we're dealing with real shit here, okay? Like Scott's kid is, you know, Scott's
in the
kid
future right now.
You know, in the future right now, going through some stuff, right? He has two wives, right? I'm like Nick from New Girl. You can only have one wife. One wife. Right? He's dealing with two. Same girl. The professor's gone. Gambit's a cuckold right now. There's a lot going on, right? And I don't care about Jubilee. He was missing Jubilee's birthday. Okay?
Not at all.
So much going on here. Zero
interest in that.
Gosh, man. So, you know, whatever. She goes through this whole thing. At the end of like, when you go through something, even in a small 22-minute episode or however long this is, you expect the character to grow. I think like the other guy, Roberto, grew more than she did in this episode. I think she is still like the same whiny kind of teenage girl or whatever. So it was like, okay, who was this episode really for? I didn't enjoy it from her perspective.
Hopefully she at least gets like a different power out of this whole thing. Like they showed something a little different from her powers other than just like throwing small fireworks at people.
You mean her jazz hands? Her jazz hands?
I know she's actually like, I know she's actually like super powerful, but she just doesn't know that yet, right?
She didn't know how to harness
it. So we see like, we see like maybe she's finally going to grow into this next level.
Yeah.
But it still was like.
Now you're right. The Storm storyline is really fun to watch, right? She's with this dude, Forge. And you almost seem like, is Forge like, is he hitting on her? What's he feeling? You know what I mean? Or is he just really just trying to help her out the kindness of his heart? It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. He's a little horny guy, right? You know what I mean? Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, living out in the desert by himself.
You know? But all isolated and stuff. Yeah. What we see, though, is some weird, like, machine that he puts her in, and the powers don't come back. And then there's this weird, big-ass, overgrown bird. What happens next is my question. That's where they left us off. There's so many different storylines and stuff like that. I don't know anything about this bird. I knew about Mojo. I knew about Mr. Sinister, obviously, you know, and everything else that we've seen so far. But this big-ass raven bird thing that was like, killing them or catching them or whatever. I don't know what the hell that's about. So like when I saw that, I was like, ooh, I am interested. What is going on here? So
Her storyline is turning in like the drama side. Like you got the action from the other guys, and then hers is the drama mystery. You really want to see what's gonna happen. That's kind of that I think we talked about, like, we're gonna go week to week, you know, episode per episode deal, or are we going to have some kind of overarching thing? So far, that's kind of been the overarching story is Storm situation. So hopefully we'll find out what the big bird's about next week.
Tune in next week, team. Same time, same bat channel for another amazing episode of X-Men 97. I think I just mixed DC and Marvel right there, but whatever.
There's a lot happening.
Lot happening there. Team, we're going to throw this. By one of them. We're getting indicted. Warner Brothers and Disney coming at us at the same damn time. Awesome.
Like for slander or something like that.
Team, we're going to throw Motendo/Life Death Part 1 on our socials. Let us know your thoughts. Are you still rocking with the show? What has been your favorite episode so far, guys? Let us know in the comments. Appreciate you. All right, brother. Let's jump into this week's movie, man.
All right.
And thinking about man, the name of this movie is Monkey Man. This movie dropped March 11th in South by Southwest, but to us regular people in the United States and Canada, April 5th, just this past Friday. This movie is directed by Dev Patel, and his film is directing debut, and written by Dev Patel, Paul Anguilla, and John Coffey.
We have a $10 million budget, and we've grossed $12.7 million so far.
Let's go.
Starting this, we have Dev Patel as Bobby. Spoiler alert, he is also the Monkey Man. You know, I said spoiler alert. We have Charlton Copley as Tiger, Peter Bush as Alfonso, Vipin Sharma as Alpha, Sikandar Kier as Reina, Sapita De La Pala as Sita, Ashwani Kelsekar as Queenie Kapoor, Aditi Kelconte as Nella, Makaran Dashpande as Baba, and Zakhar Hossein as a tabla maestro, which he was awesome, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead and give us a quick synopsis, brother.
Bobby, who's also the Monkey Man, is seeking vengeance against the man that killed his mother and several others that were involved in burning the village he grew up in.
Sir. All right, man. So let's start with the man, the myth, the living legend, yeah. Dev Patel as kid / Bobby / Monkey Man. I really like our introduction to his character. I really do, man. Like, you know, we always see our protagonist, our hero, whatever you want to call him, in some sort of, I need to get to, this is a revenge flick. Let's just point this and get that. It's definitely a revenge flick in here. But like,
100%.
I have a vendetta. I have vengeance. I need to go ahead and follow through on that. Very interesting that this kid uses the money he makes from throwing these fights to fueling his way into this elite status hotel casino, whatever this building is, right? Like, I really like that. That was a really cool flip on how the protagonist kind of does his thing. He gets his ass beat every night. That's his job. That's how he makes his money. And we're like, if you're this hero, right? If you're the lead, if you're the Monkey Man, why do we keep on seeing you getting your ass kicked night after night, throwing fight after fight? Yeah, making money, but like, what the fuck is going on here? Like, we don't want to see that from our hero. I'm watching it and I'm like, is it ever going to turn? But I also like that he is using the streets.
I was going to say the story, from what I thought was going to happen from the trailer is actually like nowhere close to what I envisioned the story and what his plan and his pathway to the end of the movie was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I thought it was just going to be straight up, I'm going in and I'm taking everybody out from the get go, but there's actually like a whole thing before that, which was very interesting. And honestly, I kind of what makes the movie a little bit more fun.
It does. Cause like it could have been that, you know, 90s video game Streets of Rage thing where you kind of work your way up to every level until you get to the boss. And I kind of thought that was going to be the vibe of the movie. Right. And like that element is in there, but it starts way at the ground level in the city where he is working his way into this building, into this king building structure where all the elites are. I like it that he uses different parts of the city to kind of do his bidding and help out. thought that was really cool, man. The scene where they steal her purse and it gets to him. Yeah. Like the choreography with that, man, really fun. Really dope and exciting to watch. And then it kind of gets into his hands. And then the next scene we see, hey, I found your purse, found your clutch. I'm looking for a job.
Yeah.
And he's in, right? That's his in. I thought that was really cool, like a story element there. But when he's in, that's when you see him start working his way up. Like, give me the lowest, crappiest job. I'll mop. I'll scrub the toilets, whatever you need me to do. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'll work my way up there. Right? And you know this entire time he's working his way up for a purpose, to get closer to the powers that be. So I think that is really, really fun, man. Ultimately, it's Dev Patel is almost in every scene. We're following his mm-hmm. story. A lot of first-time directors who direct themselves and they're the star, that's kind of how it is. But I don't mind that either, because it's a very personal story and growth about him letting go, like, you know, having this traumatic thing that happened and working through that as well.
Yeah.
And coming out as the hero for the future.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't matter who was in that role, though, because that role was the movie, right? You don't have a bunch of any of these scenes without him.
Agreed.
Pushing the story forward, yeah.
Yeah, definitely agreed there, man. And I just love that we see him get stronger. He gets more aware of who he is needing to protect as far as in the city and what different groups. He just becomes a better person for it through this story arc. So big ups to Dev Patel as this character and his way of trying to get revenge on the people that wronged him, his family, his mom, his village. And it was really cool and different to see there.
Yeah.
We got my boy here, Charlton Copley as Tiger. Now, Charlton Copley is one of my favorite actors today. But Charlton Copley is not an actor that, like, he doesn't have a lot of starring roles. He just does not. He's one of those guys that comes in, does what you need him to do, and he's out.
Yep.
But he has a way of stealing scenes, man. Did you get that vibe with him?
Yeah, he's just got a really strong, fun tone to his voice. In really any of the movies he's done, it's a voice you just want to listen to, right? Yeah. Like, and it travels over everything else in the scene. Especially one like here where he just gets to have fun and be kind of goofy. definitely takes over.
Yeah, you know, he plays
I don't remember any movie where he's like, I don't remember any movie where he's like, head honcho. Not at all.
Like, even District 13, he had to share with an alien. District 9, excuse me. He co-starred with an alien. Like, top billing, Charlton Copley.
Yeah, you're right.
The alien. Yeah. So, he really has never had... Even in, like, Chappie, when he was with Chappie with Dev Patel, it was Dev Patel's character and Charlton Copley as the robot Chappie. So he's never really done a starring role, but the things that he does, he's fantastic in, man. He never misses, and that's what I really love about his character here, man. He's only, like, in three or four scenes, and in three or four scenes, man, you give him the mic, and... He is the slum fight coordinator who kind of, pays the guys at the end of the fights and at the end of the night or whatever. He's an asshole, but he has a fun time doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that role of like basically ringleader, right? Like,
yeah,
in this place where he's in charge of entertaining all these rowdy people. I mean, I think he could just do that in life.
Oh yeah,
because he's got great skills at it. Like I said, his voice and his mannerisms and everything else really lead to like, look at me right now. I'm the spotlight. Look at me.
Agreed, man. Moving forward here, comic relief. You always got to have a comic relief in a movie, man. And this movie is very heavy. And Dev Patel's character doesn't have any joy because he has such this sorrow in him. We'll talk about that here in a little bit when I wrap up with my theme and everything. But we also have this guy, Peter Bosch, who plays Alfonso. Peter Bosch plays Alfonso, and he's kind of like the club director. He kind of walks around. He's the guy who like shakes hands with everybody, knows everybody in there. But like he kind of works throughout the entire hotel building, whatever this is. I don't even know what type of building this is. It's just this humongous building. I don't know. It's so many different vibes. But
I think the building was like just the whole like company building, right? Like every level was a little something different, what I gathered from it anyways.
Yeah. But then we got this guy, Alfonso, and he is hilarious. Everybody knows him, but nobody likes him. You know what I mean? Like he knows everybody and everybody knows him, but he's kind of the butt of the joke, you know, for the police. Queenie, who we'll talk about in just a few minutes there. Quality control, yes. Queenie, like, gives him shit all the time, but also, like, trusts him to do these, like, missions and stuff like that to go get the girls. So, you know, he's a guy who wears many hats, but he befriends Monkey Man, Bobby, Kid, whatever you want to call him, and they soon become tight, but, you know, like, just the look, the feel, the vibe of Dev Patel's character. He's not trying to be friends with Alfonso. He wants to use him to gain in the ranks of this building to get closer to the people, man. And you knew that from the start. As soon as he had his opening, he took it. But also established trust.
Just go wherever he wanted to.
Yeah.
Alfonso just rolled up into hop in the elevator, went to every floor he felt like.
Had all the buttons, right? So knew it all. So then gained his trust. He went from cleaning and washing dishes and everything to being a cocktail server, champagne server at like the restaurant type thing, right? And then with his friendship with Alphonse, moved up to the club level where he was given Molly or drugs to people on the floor or whatever, right? Where there was more stuff happening. And he's just working his way up through this building. And it's a metaphor for like, you know, working your way up to higher levels within a company is what it really looked like he was doing. But obviously he had that back purpose
trying to get to the ringleader, right?
Of course. But he had that back purpose where he's trying to get to the people who wronged him so he can get in close to do his damn thing. So Alfonso was cool, man. I really had a good time laughing with him, at him. Good comic relief there. All right. We have Vipin Sharma as Alpha. And Alpha is... one second here. Let me go back over here. He played the... he was the main person with the transgender community that gave him the hallucinogenic drug, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah.
Cool. Really interesting character. With him and that transgender group kind of heals Dev Patel's character and helps him understand, like, yo, you gotta, this happened to you, but this can't be the end all be all of who you are as a person. You can't let this control you for the rest of your life. You have to, this tragic thing happened and it happened in the past. How do you move forward with this, right? So being in that village of these outcasts, right, who healed him and helped him out there and helped him grow, very vital, pivotal. Like, the movie completely stopped and slowed down at this point, right? Because we're just going, we're going, we're building. This action breaks out, and then he gets flushed and fixed and stitched up by this community. And they bring him in. They love on him. They take him through this journey of healing, and he becomes a bigger, stronger man for it, for his fight to, for, you know, his revenge tour, I guess, is what they were kind of preparing him for. So
yeah, we got to find a better name for that, but still cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we have next, we have Sikandar Kerr as Rana. This is the police chief, like captain of the police or whatever, or chief of police in this city. And he is well connected, right? He is connected to the politicians, to the people that move and groove within the city there. But he's also a pretty bad guy. We see through a lot of flashbacks, and then the full flashback scene where he's a big reason as to why Monkey Man is the way that he is now and why he's going. He's one of the guys that Monkey Man is actually going after for, but you don't really know why at first. You just know, like, he's there. Because the flashbacks are really cool. They're almost Christopher Nolan Batman Begins type flashbacks where you just kind of get glimpses and not the full thing.
Yeah, and they kind of like overlap over each other. Like every time he has one, it kind of gets a little longer, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
You kind of repeat it, but it's just a little bit longer, a little bit more story.
Yeah, agreed there, right? Where we come to find out that this is the guy who was sent in to burn his village and, you know, do all the horrible things that basically happened there. So that, like, spoilers ahead, team, but definitely. But his character was cool.
I'll put a graphic up.
Yeah, but his but his character himself was, you thought he was the main baddie, but he was not. And that was cool. So there's like an under baddie and there's a main baddie. I thought that was really cool, man. But formidable foe against Dev Patel. Something that I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, he was. I mean, he laid it on him there at the end.
Oh, that first fight. That first fight was evenly matched.
Yeah.
Almost,
yeah, it was not good. It was not almost, good.
Almost Reyna. Almost Reyna had, like, if he had to get the hell out of there, you know what I mean? Because Reyna was about to whoop his ass and kill him. So, first round goes to Reyna. second round, you're definitely right there, man. But yeah, he's just one of the villains, and I almost liked that he didn't, Monkey Man didn't succeed in that first fight with taking him down. It just added another element. Like, shit, I thought this was going to be easy. I thought my fighting skills were going to get me to the finish line here. I now know that I need to work harder, right? And that's what he did in that community. So,
he's putting on a show out there, wasn't he?
the whole city was lit up over that fight, over that chase.
Like six people, but, you know.
Six people awake. I am horrible at pronouncing Indian names, so I apologize, team. Sobhita Duppalala. Butchered that, I'm sorry, but she's an Indian actress. She played Sita. She's kind of the work. Yeah, horrible. She's one of the working girls within the within this hotel building type thing that is close to all these men. And I thought there was going to be more of a, let me help you, let me get you out, let me, you know, make you a, you know, get you out of this terrible situation. with
nope.
Monkey Man? Nope. None of that. She tells him, if you ain't got the stomach for this, bro, you got to get the hell out of here. Like, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is how I get paid. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you can't take it. Get the hell out of the kitchen. And he had to do that a few times. So
yeah, he literally did. Literally did.
But yeah, just like an added thing, but like almost a red herring, because we thought it was, we're going to fall into that trope where he has to now save the girl. But in essence,
right,
she ends up saving him, which is a really cool scene.
What?
Ashwini, I'm going to butcher this too. Kel Sakar as Queenie Kapoor. Kind of runs the day-to-day within the building, the hotel, the kitchen staff, kind of the bar, nightclub type thing. She's the one, she was Monkey Man's entry into it. She's the one who gives him a job and helps him out, but she's also not a good person in regard to this as well, so she's got to be taken down as well, you know what I mean? So, and just the last people we want to talk about is Murakan Deshpande as Baba Shakti. And he's kind of, his character is like the shaman, the not really in government, but just the person who everybody kind of looks towards for guidance. He kind of pushes politicians. Yeah. He's basically like the guy pulling the strings. And he kind of has the politicians on a rope. You know what I mean? It's kind of the vibe. Like, whatever those politicians did, he basically told him to do. And we actually got that through how he directed Reyna to take down Monkey Man's village in the beginning, right? So, really convoluted story, but it actually all ties in and makes sense with all these different characters. But his character, man, like, you want to think about really good villains, he was awesome for what he was given, for what he had to do, for the strings that he had to play, and even like his speech at the end of the movie and his sneak attack. I knew they cued in on those damn shoes for something, man. Like, they looked dope. I was like oh shit, those are dope. And I was like, what are we doing here with these? So, really good villain, man. Had me second guessing myself there. And then your boy Zakir Hussain as the tabla maestro, who not a single speaking line, but boy, he
no need.
Killed it. Killed it on that instrument, bro. The tabla. Oh, yeah. Hand drums, man. That was cool. That kind of got him in, kind of got Monkey Man in motion as far as how he needed to go ahead and train to be a better fighter. So that was really cool, man. All right, man. Let's talk about sets and not really much of the music, but more of the set, the scope of this movie, man. This open scale seemed pretty extremely large throughout the city, especially that drive chase scene and then the chase scene on foot, right? He's on top of buildings and stuff, man. He made the city seem really huge. And I liked it that it was lived in as well. There's people, there's always like people running around. There was cooking, people sleeping on the ground, right? A very lived in city that, you know, is impoverished and there's not enough housing. There's a lot going on here. But then you turn around and you get back to this damn King building, and people are living luxury, right? So I like that you got to see both sides, how the one percenters live, how the regular folk live as well.
Wasn't it kind of like separated by like a river or something, right? Like,
yeah,
when they did some of like the good drone shots, you had the, like you saw the city side, and then the drones flying by or whatever, and then you see the big water just cuts off, and all of a sudden you're in a village, basically, right? Like a very well-defined line of where the money's at.
Oh, yeah. Cha-ching. Yeah, and like most of the movie does take place in this skyscraper building where most of the elites hang out, man. You know what I mean? We have the workers, we have the restaurant, we got the nightclub, the bar, then at, way at the top, you know, that's where, that's the VIP area. So I thought that we saw that.
Talk about what goes down up there.
Nah, we don't know what happens in the VIP room, but it definitely shows classism. And that was really cool, man. All right, let's talk about a theme here. This movie is pure revenge for his life, for his mom, for his village. You know, after seeing his mother slain, he is a different person from that moment on. And, you know, I love how we got bits and pieces of it before to explain. And, you know, he was just living as a kid before that event, running around the village with his mom and everything. Yeah. And then after that, he has that singular focus of revenge there, is what this is. This also shows, like we just talked about, classism, geopolitical politics, those shadow guys who actually do all the deals and are the ones actually in charge and just using the politicians as puppets. How there's just a lot of different themes in here, but you know, overarching themes, but the one main theme is revenge for his mother, revenge for his village, man, how he's a different man. All right, team. So that's our conversation about 2024's Monkey Man. JV, give me your thoughts and ratings on this, brother.
Yeah, man. This one's going to get 3 buckets of popcorn from me this week.
All right, talk to me.
The overarching theme of the movie, you know, it's, they say it's revenge, right? That's what you get through the whole movie, right? Like, everything he's doing is, like, it's to get to that point. There's not really, like, it's not really, like, a story as much as it is just, we start off in one spot. We're literally just going from A to B. There's nothing really in the middle of it. I mean, it was fun. He did a lot of fighting. a lot of fighting, and you know, it was just a fun movie. It was a fun action movie. Yeah. But I didn't get much more than that out of it. At the end of the day, when I left the theater, I mean, I would watch it again, cause it was a good time. But it was also a good looking movie too.
Oh yeah.
But I wasn't like crazy impressed by the story of the whole thing. What about you, man?
Yeah, dude. I really enjoyed one. I've never seen Dev Patel so ripped in my life. He always plays like the skinny guy. Like, this dude got jacked. Oh, that was cool to see.
Oh yeah.
Yep. But also, you know, this revenge flick, we've seen these before. You know, we just finished the John Wick movies, right?
Yeah.
We've seen Ransom. We've seen all these movies where the singular focus is to get revenge on the people who have wronged you. And yes, it's always an easy layup type of film. It's always interesting how the writer or director will portray that, will show that happening.
Yeah.
And in this one, some of it hits and some of it doesn't hit, right? Him kind of doing things and getting bigger and more responsibilities to get closer to the people. I thought that was really, really cool. It was really, really fun there.
That was a good part, yes.
Once he's like down on his luck and in the community of like trying to actually learn to be a better fighter and everything, like, that's where it just slowed down for me, and it was less fun. It was important because it showed a few different things. Right? Right,
yeah.
It showed we're outcast and we're over here, and they're coming for our area because we're different, right? That's something that speaks to people all shapes, creeds, colors, sizes today, You know, that. So I understand what they were trying to do there. That just could have been tighter for me. You know what I mean? In regards to, like, showcasing that, showing that and everything. Because it is very important, right? If you care about other people's rights, other people's rights to, like, live their life the way they want to live their life and everything, that's very important. That just could have been a little tighter in my eyes. All in all, man, the action's fun. Alfonso kept me laughing. I love Charlton Copley in this as Tiger. I just had a really good time through this, man. This one for me gets 4 buckets of popcorn. I actually want to watch this again because I want to see more of how Baba Shakti is using, it's kind of pulling the strings more. I got that, and I really tied that in at the end, but he was actually doing it from the get-go with all his voiceovers and stuff on the radio and the TV and stuff. So I kind of want to watch it again just to see more of that. Just to put more focus. So, 4 buckets of popcorn, man. Okay. I definitely enjoyed this flick.
Good deal.
Thank you for watching this week's episode, Talking Through Monkey Man. Next week, we'll be discussing the Alex Garland directed flick, Civil War.
Visit your local theaters. Check this one out.
Like always, I am Clyde Smith. You can find me across all socials. I am Clyde D. Smith.
I'm Javier Villalobos. You can find me across all socials at Mr. J8200.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.